You're listening to Startup Acquisition Stories, a podcast featuring the stories of startup founders and buyers who have successfully gone through an acquisition process using Acquire.com, the world's number one startup acquisition marketplace. To date, Acquire.com has helped thousands of startups get acquired and facilitated hundreds of millions in closed deal volume. Here's your host, Andrew Gizdecki.
All right. I'm here with David Maelstrom, who recently had a company acquired on Acquire.com. David, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing good. Happy Monday. So I know the company, but I'd love for you to maybe give an intro of yourself and just a background on the company that you sold.
Yep. So quick background on myself. I was co-founder and CEO of Buddy. Buddy enables brands, specifically e-commerce and CPG brands, to sell products natively via text message. So, you know, you may have signed up for your favorite brand's text message marketing updates before. We take that one step further and allow brands to send messages with products in them to their customers via text. And then customers can simply reply yes back to that text message to make a purchase. So it basically takes the step out of the process of buying a product online where you're, you know, clicking a link, going to a website, pulling out your card and actually checking out online. All the brands that use Buddy have their customers' credit card information stored on our platform so that when their customers text back yes to purchase, the purchase just happens seamlessly. The order goes through to the brand and they send the product to the customer. Yeah, I'll give you a quick background on myself and kind of how we started the company. So my background's in B2B SaaS investing. So I spent the past 5 years before I started Buddy investing at an early stage fund at the Series A, Series B stage. Saw a lot of marketing companies come to pass. And really when the pandemic kicked off, two things kind of boomed for us and in the things that we were looking at. And that was really e-commerce and digital communication. I mean, everyone saw, you know, what happened to Zoom. And then everyone saw these deals happening in marketing software with Klaviyo, Attentive. You saw the MailChimp Intuit deal. But we felt like, you know, those companies weren't taking marketing far enough. And there was still a huge gap between, you know, receiving a message from a brand and actually making a purchase. So we set out to remove all the friction in the middle. And make purchasing a seamless process via text message.
This is like a badass company, man. Well done. I guess my next question is just like, what made you want to, you know, build this, or what was like the light bulb moment? Because I want that, like, where someone texts like a brand I'm interested in, I just text yes, and then I get a refresh of the product or something like that.
Yeah. So I would say it's really a few things. I mean, we saw this wave of text message marketing come to, you know, come to fruition where, you know, historically it was, you know, email marketing was kind of the digital medium that everyone used, and everyone was using some form of paid ads, whether it was social media or Google or what have you. And text messaging kind of burst onto the scene as this more authentic, organic, you know, really just a medium that resonated a lot better with younger consumers. Because everybody's checking their phone. You know, if you checked your phone right now, you probably have 500 unread emails, but maybe like one or two unread text messages. And you're just more, you're more likely to open a text and want to, you know, want to read it. Because, you know, it's short form content. It's easy to relate to. And the inbox, the text message inbox, is usually reserved for friends and family. So if you let a brand into your text message inbox, you know, you're probably going to read it. So it's just incredibly more effective than other mediums out there, whether it's email or social media. And then, you know, that ease or that frictionless buying process is something that people have really gotten used to with, you know, things like Amazon or Bolt. I know we saw, unfortunately, we saw Fast come to pass. But one-click checkout really took off during the pandemic as well. And we thought it was just a much easier way to deliver that experience on a phone.
I love that. I love how you took, because I've seen similar solutions where you can, you know, if you leave a shopping cart full of stuff, it'll text you or something like that. But I've never heard of a solution where you can purchase stuff just so seamlessly. So I like how you kind of combine those two problems together. So Well done. That sounds awesome. So you build the company up. How did you get the first, you know, couple customers?
Pounding the pavement. So we were like DM warriors on Instagram for like 2 or 3 months. And that worked. We got to, you know, I'd say probably 25 or 30 customers just using the like pure DM, you know, scrappy outreach.
I love that. You know, creating scarcity in sales, especially when you're first kicking things off, can be because they're bought into the product. I'm sure they gave you great feedback and, you know, really that's awesome. I love that technique of using scarcity to kind of drive urgency within the sales process. So well done there. Okay. So fast forward, company's doing well. You decide to sell the business and you listed on Acquire. How did that initial you know process go when you listed it? How did you know you meet the first buyer? Maybe take me like step one to like step three, if you will.
Yeah, sure. So didn't really have any expectations when we ended up listing on Acquire. It was a really easy process from start to finish. So you know, basically we pretty much had our ducks in a row on, you know, the story and, you know, how we were gonna, you know, gonna display ourselves on Acquire in terms of building out a profile. And, you know, we know who our competitors were and what our strengths were and our differentiators and all that stuff. So that was pretty easy for us to put together, you know, connected Stripe, Acquire just made the whole listing process really easy. And then, you know, kind of transitioning to that next phase where you start meeting with buyers. I mean, it wasn't more than 24 hours after I listed on Acquire that I got probably 5 to 10 inquiries and received 2 unsolicited LOIs for at or above asking price and all cash. So, what? I mean, it was like, it literally worked like magic. We didn't want to like rush into, you know, the first thing that came our way. So we definitely like took our time, tried to stack meetings, you know, all around the same day or the same week to try to create some process momentum. And then we basically narrowed it down to 2 or 3 parties that we were really excited about. And we thought had the resources to, you know, get a deal done that we'd be happy with and went from there, narrowed it down to 1. And that's who we ended up going with. And the rest of the process probably took, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks to get the deal done, just to iron out some of the finer points and transfer all the assets. But it was all very, very simple.
Nice. There's a few things I got to unpack here. I love what you just said in terms of the time process, you know, how if you have a lot of buyers, you really want to condense them into a timeline, just so again, you create urgency where they have to make a decision under a certain timeline. So very well done. I think that's a huge tip for other sellers or other startups looking to get acquired, because when you know, kind of don't have a timeline, buyers can really extrapolate that and a week can turn into a month. But when you have multiple parties interested and you put it into 1 day, say, hey, we want LOIs on this day, that could be a very, very powerful way to get buyers to quickly say yes or no. And sometimes no is just as good as a yes. In terms of the buyer that you ended up going with, what did they do to stand out? Was it the offer? Was it the terms? Was it you just got along with the individual? What made you, out of the group of buyers that were interested, you know, select the buyer that you went with?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of all of the above. It was definitely, you know, who they were. Like, we trusted them as people and built a really deep sense of trust and respect day one. The offer and the terms were great. It was, you know, all and more than we were hoping for. And really, it was their vision to carry on Buddy, to continue to build out the platform and really move up market in terms of the customer base. So our goal was always to, you know, to reach out to enterprise brands and get the, you know, just throwing out names, but like the Macy's of the world to use Buddy. And although we weren't able to accomplish that when we were operating the company, they have a lot of really good, you know, blue chip or enterprise level contacts that, that they've already started to reach out to about, you know, using Buddy. And at the beginning of the process, you know, I thought Buddy would be more of like a tack on to the software that they already had. And it ended up that they were so excited about what we were building that I think we will actually kind of transition into the core of their platform, and then they will build, you know, two or three other modules around that core infrastructure that we brought to the table.
That's awesome. You got like the trifecta, you know, because when you build something, you know, you kind of want to see it live on and, you know, grow or continue to be invested in. So sounds like you got great terms, great asking price, and then just a buyer that is going to be investing in the development to take it further than, you know, you could necessarily on your own. I'm sure you could have, but enterprise sales cycles, as you know, are so long and so tedious that you're able to, yeah, you can accelerate that. So that's awesome. And then, okay, so you find the buyer. Tell me about due diligence. How did you handle that? What, any headaches, any learnings, going through that process? I've heard everything from it's the craziest thing ever to, you know, quick and easy. You know, how was that part for you?
Yeah, I would say I was probably more difficult during due diligence than the buyer's team was. So they hired legal counsel to like do a legitimate due diligence process. And for the most part, I managed everything on our end. So again, my background, you know, having been an early stage investor previously, like been through this process many, many times, seen the movie play out many different ways and felt, you know, confident to take on their legal team myself. They didn't ask for anything that was like outside of the norm or that wasn't market. And we were able to negotiate some favorable terms around, you know, capping things like indemnification timeline, amounts, and, you know, some of the minutia that gets lost in deals like that. I'd say it was pretty straightforward and seamless, all in all.
Nice. Good work on, being able to, you know, go through that. I did that myself and I might be able to kind of relate. I remember going through due diligence on, a prior company, and I just, you know, being it was like my baby, when they'd ask like a simple question, I'd be like, what? Like, and then reflecting back, I was like, I wish I was a little bit, you know, more tempered, going through due diligence. But it can be such a stressful period, you know, because, you know, you're about to sell your company and you want to get everything correct. So it's good that you were able to, you know, keep your cool and, you know, get to the terms that you want. And so well done. I guess my next question is, you know, okay, so you're at due diligence, you got through it without losing your mind. Again, nice job on that. And then it's time to transfer the assets. Any hiccups there? Any, you know, just general like tips you give to other founders as they transfer assets to one company to another?
Yeah. So I had never been involved with the actual asset transfer of things in the past. So this was like all new for me. The way that we handled it was basically just outlining all the assets that were going to be transferred, you know, assign a date or a process to the way that we would transfer each of them, and then just, you know, just execute on that plan. So, you know, in terms of tips for other people that are selling their company, I would just say be very communicative and transparent with the buyer, and just make sure that you have a plan in place to, you know, to execute the transfer of all the assets. And as long as you guys are in agreement on, you know, how it's going to get done and when it's going to get done, it's just a matter of you, you know, doing what you said you would. So for us, you know, the buyer took over most of our accounts. So the way our platform was set up, you know, we had a messaging provider. We had integrations with e-commerce platforms. We had integrations with payments providers. And all of these had accounts associated with them. So we basically just, you know, transferred ownership of the account from our company accounts to their new company accounts. And made sure that we were in lockstep with the buyer the entire way through. And, you know, because of the fact that we were open and transparent and just kept in really close contact with the buyer throughout the whole process, I think that's what led it to going so smoothly.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. I think just people underestimate just how much just goodwill in an acquisition can go, just being on the same page, being clear on, what's going to happen, on what date, why are you doing this, having some sort of, you know, document process, whatever you want to call it, just saves so much headache. So you don't get through due diligence and you're like, what do we do, or something like that. So it sounds like you were dealing with a sophisticated buyer, which also makes life, you know, a lot easier. I guess, you know, my next question would be is, so you successfully sold Buddy. Sounds like everything's going good. What are you up to now? I got to assume you're working on something new, or.
Yeah. So we sold Buddy. Wasn't a life-changing outcome. But it did provide some bridge money to go on to the next thing. When I was investing, I was very focused on vertical SaaS, you know, these core systems of record, systems of action, and what we built with Buddy, I would say it was more of a point solution, although it will be the core of the platform that the buyer is building and building around. I'm actually a lot more comfortable in, you know, things like CRM, ERP, you know, these heavier, more enterprise platforms. So I'm going to be building, you know, something that's probably heavier than what Buddy was, a lot more enterprisey, more system of record like. But I really like building in the blue collar space. So, like I told you before, we started the podcast, I started Buddy kind of on the heels of listening to you and Nathan Latka, kind of go through this whole process of talking to people who had started companies, had them bought and the like. And I got connected with this SMB acquisition community of people buying, you know, HVAC companies, plumbing companies, landscaping companies, all of these, you know, older, more boring businesses. And a lot of these older, boring businesses are also using old and boring software that was built 40 or 50 years ago. And there's nothing, you know, nothing else out there. It's not like the latest grads from Stanford are going out and they're like, oh, I want to build software for landscapers, you know? Yeah. So I think the, you know, in that realm, the competition is very limited. The software is archaic. And there's an interesting kind of dynamic shift in ownership in these companies. So look at like your local HVAC company. It's probably a 50 or 60 year old guy that owns the company. And he's thinking about, you know, either selling it or passing it down to his son. Either way, the new owner is going to be slightly more sophisticated than the last. And they're people that have grown up using and interacting with modern software. So they're going to expect more than those old archaic legacy systems. And that presents an incredible opportunity for someone like myself or anyone else who wants to go in and build software to disrupt these old legacy industries and just bring them up to speed with things that, you know, you and I use every day that are very secondhand or commonplace to us. And just helping, you know, bring blue collar businesses into the digital age.
That's awesome. My previous startup sold a small business, and we would always say small businesses lack time, aptitude, and money. And I think that's like the perfect storm. It's just, I don't have money for this, because I think the average SMB budget is $500 a month on marketing spend. And I've seen that increase. And so as more and more people look to buy, you know, Main Street businesses and then upgrade them with software, I think you're right. There's a huge opportunity. And I think it's smart that you're kind of thinking of, you know, during a gold rush, you want to be selling the pickaxes for the tools for the people acquiring these businesses. So I like that, man. Well, I'll be rooting for you, dude. If I can help, I literally lived in SMB selling for 8 years. So I can tell you all you need to know if you ever need help.
I appreciate it. I'll probably be taking you up on that.
Well, David, thanks so much for coming on this podcast. If people want to get a hold of you, pick your brain, ask you questions, where could they get a hold of you?
Totally. So LinkedIn, you know, you can find me on LinkedIn, reach out directly, or, you know, shoot me an email. Personal email is lastnamefirstname@gmail.com, melstromdavid@gmail.com. Cold outreach is always welcome. I try to respond to all cold outreach, although it might not be immediate. I will get back to you, and, you know, would love to connect with anyone that's interested in chatting.
Right on. Well, David, congrats again on the acquisition, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you do next.
All right. Thanks. And thanks for making it so easy.
Thanks. Well, I got to thank my team for that, man. All right. Cheers, awesome. David.
All right. See you, Andrew.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Startup Acquisition Stories podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, make sure to like and follow on your preferred channel. If you know a friend or colleague that's thinking about selling their startup and don't know where to start, please share it with them. For more information on Acquire.com and how we can help you start conversations with serious buyers with acquisition targets ranging from 50,000 up to 50 million or more, check us out at Acquire.com. We'll see you next time.